For he who walks by faith and not by sight.
Good job quoting that scripture. Morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to open to Daniel chapter 6 as we continue. Wow, that's kind of loud, isn't it? As we continue our series, Life in the Lion's Den. I'm not even going to go there. That means I have permission to yell. I was thinking, in lieu of talking about Daniel in the lion's den, which is what we're going to talk about in chapter 6, I thought about how the idea of faith seems to be a central theme so far throughout the book of Daniel. And I stopped and I thought, you know, I can understand what was going on in Israel, but I'm thinking about what's happening today. I'm thinking about just what has went on in my short lifetime in regards to Christianity and the Christian faith. And it dawned on me, I remember that when I was a little boy, at school, we opened each day with a prayer. And the teacher would call on different ones of us little boys. I must have been ornery because I didn't get called on very often to say the prayer. The teacher must have said, I don't want to hear what he's got to say. Every day we started school with a public prayer over the intercom system and another one in our class. How many people remember those days? How many of you got any money in your pocket? You looked on that money lately? It says, in God we trust. But our new president was on television declaring a couple of years ago that we are not a Christian nation. Are you getting mixed signals? Oh, by the way, you can't pray at school anymore. No, we're not even going to pray before a football game. To a maturity of faith that will get you somewhere. I'm going to do something today I hate to do. I'm going to preach without my notes, and I'll tell you why. I get really dependent on my notes, and I figure if I follow them, I can't mess up. But when I do that, I don't really leave room for the Holy Spirit to work in my heart, because I got a few notes in my margins. It's the best I can do. Daniel chapter 6. Let's take a look at the story. We actually pick up in chapter 5, verse 31, reading through 6, verse 3. So Darius the Mede received the kingdom at about the age of 62. It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom who would be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them, and that the king might not suffer loss. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and the satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. As we think about this, we see that King Darius is really a fulfillment of Daniel chapter 2, when Nebuchadnezzar had the dream of the great statue. The head was the Babylonian Empire. It was of gold. But then the arms and the breasts were of silver, which was the Medo-Persian Empire. And Darius fits into that because Darius is a sub-ruler of King Cyrus the Great of Persia. Okay? So he is now ruling Babylon. Babylon doesn't exist anymore. It's Persia that exists. And King Darius set him up a political bandwagon to take care of his kingdom. He set up his entourage of men, and he called them satraps. Satraps is an interesting word in the Hebrew. It's the word for the leader of Iran. You remember what we called the leader of Iran in the past? The Shah of Iran? It's the same word here as the word satrap, and it simply means a provincial ruler. So Darius set up 120 provincial rulers. It's a big kingdom, and he was going to have to take care of that kingdom, so he sets up 120 men to do that. But King Darius did something really same that we do today. We have a system, our political system, we have three parts to our political system. We have I knew this when I practiced earlier. The judicial, the legislative, and the executive branch, is that right? Okay. We set up a whole lot of what's called checks and balances because we want everybody checking on each other so that nobody can get out of control and get corrupt. Same thing that Darius did here. He appointed three commissioners, my text says in the New American Standard Updated Edition, verse 2. He appointed three commissioners over the 120 satraps to help keep them in line as a check and balance system. The word commissioner here is the word emir, or the word president, you might identify with. And Daniel was appointed as one of these. Reckon that Darius just drew lottery names from the hat? How did Darius know about Daniel? Daniel was a man of God, and let me tell you what, men and women, if you're a man or woman of God, you will rise to the top because you're the cream. God will see to it. God will put you in the place where you are to be used in His kingdom, and that's exactly what God did with Daniel here. It said that verse 3, Daniel began to distinguish himself among the commissioners and the satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. And the king decided to put him over the entire kingdom. If you read this in the Hebrew, you get something interesting. He possessed an ordinary, an extraordinary, what's the word? Yeah, extraordinary spirit. If you read the Hebrew, you see and you understand the word preference. King Darius looked at his entire kingdom and he preferred one guy. Daniel. You think that's happenstance? God put Daniel there. And talk about a purpose that he's fixing to serve. Let's look at verses 4. Verse 4. Then the commissioners and the satraps begin trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel. Why do they want to find anything against Daniel for? This is politics to the core, folks. Daniel's got the number one spot, and they don't like it, and they're going to shove him out of the way because they want... Now, does politics... Is there anything, any such thing as church politics? Does this ever happen in the Lord's church? Let me tell you what, that's a sad thing, but it does. So these guys, they're trying to push Daniel out of the way. Says, then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to governmental affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful, and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. That right there is a description of a Christian person. In your workplaces, you know what? Here's what I'll say. You know what? That guy or that girl right there, that member of the Lord's church, you can count on them. They're not going to steal. They're not going to rob the company blind. They're not going to sit on their back porches when the boss is gone, when the cap's away, the mice will play. That person is a godly person, and that person's going to do the right thing. These guys are trying to... They're sitting down behind closed doors. You know, that's what people do. People got to get together. Not enough for me to think something. I got to pull everybody into my little game.
Hey, did you hear about so-and-so there? What do you think we can do about that?
Church people would never do that.
You're supposed to lie.
But you know who's heading up that little conversation right there? Satan. And that's what these guys are about. But they could find no ground of accusation against Daniel. Daniel was an upright man of faith. Did you read the word? He was a man of faith. Verse 5. Then these men said, we will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God. Oh, man. Hey, Kirk, thanks for giving me a few extra minutes. Well, this just ticks me to move on. I got to be careful. Government using religion for their own end. Now, if you're a big government person, Democrat, Republican, Independent, or anything else, you just need to put that to the side right now because I'm fixing to criticize all government. Are you with me? All these jack-legged people on TV promoting their position politically and putting God behind it. And as soon as the election's over, they forget God, don't they? Because God didn't ever mean anything to them to begin with. They're just using Him like a trump card that when the game's over, they cast aside. Oh, we are anti-abortion. And the first chance after they're elected to vote on it, they don't vote in that way. You know why? Because they don't care. Church, we need to be a society of people that start giving a hoot about what these people who are supposed to be leading our country are saying and what they're doing. Because oftentimes, it's two things. These guys said, you know what? We're going to get Daniel, but we're going to do it by his religion. You know why one of you will never be president of the United States?
Well, he's a member of the Church of Christ. They think they're the only ones going to heaven.
It's a political media circus. It's from the top down. These guys said, we'll exploit his religion.
Wow. Think that doesn't happen today?
Okay. Sunk speech over, verse 6 or 9. Ready? These guys are now going to lay a trap for old Daniel. How many of you ever did any trapping? You ever seen those little spring traps? You wouldn't want to get your foot in them? You ever trap beaver?
You ever went out there? When I was a kid, I made this little box that had a little sliding door in it. I didn't build it good enough to work, but it was a neat idea anyway. You go down to Blaine's, you can find these wire baskets where you trap the possum or catch that coon and then go release it in Keith's yard. These guys set in a trap, verse 6 through 9. Then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows. King Darius will live forever. And all the commissioners of the kingdom and the prefects and the satraps and the high officials and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction. You know what they did? They come before King Darius. You get what they're saying here? We're all of one mind here. The majority matters, doesn't it? Isn't that how our society is? The majority rules. Oh, King Darius, what the majority speaking? I'm listening. Here's what y'all do. You should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document. That is the injunction. King maketh the law that nobody can pray to anybody except you. Oh, well, pray to me? Yeah, that sounds good. If you guys all agree on it, it must be a good thing. Oh, yeah, King, we want you to sign that with an ink pen that says you can't change your mind. Want this to be established by the law of Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Now, I want to ask you a question. Why are these guys making this whole, why are they asking the king to do this? They're asking the king to do this because they know that they're going to catch Daniel. They know that Daniel is a man of prayer. And let me ask you something. How do they know? Are you known to be a people of prayer? If this world was wanting to try to get you, would they know that they could get you by saying, hey, let's make a law about it. You can't pray.
Well, I know he's going to be praying.
I know he's going to be praying. I know she's going to be praying. How do you be known of a person of prayer? Because you are a person of prayer. There you go. That's something for faith. You can't be a faithful person without being a person of prayer. Without being a person who says, you know what, you can do anything to me you want to, but you can't take away my right to pray. Verses 10 and 11. Daniel's got a choice to make. This summer, my boys went down to the charity dad's house. And his name is Rick. I can't call him his grandpa. Rick. He told the boys, he said, you boys need to know something. All summer long, I want to teach you one thing. Every choice you make comes with a consequence. You know what we need to be teaching our children now? Every single choice. Our choices seem small. Shall I eat?
Yeah.
Two hot dogs for lunch or one? Shall I be at work on time or shall I not? Every choice we make is so vitally important. Here, Daniel, he got a real choice to make. Verse 10 and 11. Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had the windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God. Daniel, you know what Daniel could have said? It's only 30 days. The decree was only set out for 30 days. I can just set my prayer life aside for 30 days. What is 30 days going to hurt? I know Christians who don't pray for 30 days. We'll just set it aside. It's just a short thing. He could have reasoned like that. And I'm afraid that many people in our brotherhood might be tempted to reason in that way. But you know what he did? He set himself straight out for his chamber to pray to the living God. Oh, man, but that's a violation of the law. Have you read Acts chapter 5 lately? When old Peter was told, you guys want you to quit preaching. I want you to quit preaching. The high priest and those guys told him, quit doing this. And you know what Peter said? Shall we obey man rather than God? Hey, church, we need to start saying that, shouldn't we? It's not getting any better. I've been watching this thing unfold for my short little life, and it's just progressively getting worse and worse and worse. Next week, we probably won't be able to live in our own Bible. Hyperbole, you catch the point. Daniel said, no way, Jose. I'm talking to God. They can take anything from you. You know that? The government can take anything from you. They can take your house. They can take your land. They can take your car. They can make you wear a seatbelt. Sorry, I couldn't take it. They can make and take anything from you. But you know what? They cannot take your ability to pray. You may be sitting cold and naked in a prison somewhere, not given food, not given soap and water, but you can pray. You can talk to your God, and He will be there to hear your prayers, and certainly God was listening to old Daniel, wasn't He? Verses 12 through 13. The trap is sprung. Then they approached and spoke before the king about the king's injunction. Did you not sign an injunction that any man who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days to be cast into the lion's den? The king replied, the statement is true. According to the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked. Then they answered and spoke before the king. Daniel is one of the exiles from Judah. Pays no attention to you, O king, or to the injunction which you signed, but keeps making his petition three times a day.
On King Darius. And King Darius
over trying to overlook his own law, trying to come up with some kind of plan to help get Daniel free. He was distressed about it. He was trying to do anything he could do to work himself out of having to follow through with throwing Daniel in the lion's den. But the men came back, verse 15, by agreement to the king and said, "Recognize, O king, the law of the Medes and the Persians. You said it. You got to do it. There's no revoking it." Nothing like choking on your own words. I don't mind to choke on your words. But it's really bad when I got a crow feather sticking out my own mouth. Darius had made a whimsical law, and now he's chewing the feathers of the thunder. Verses 16 through 18, Daniel gets cast into the lion's den. Then the king gave orders. Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you." Now, we're going to do a little questioning of that in a minute. That's what he's saying, but is that the intention of what he's meaning? We're going to come back to that. A stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet ring of the nobles, so that nothing could be changed in regard to Daniel. Then the king went off to his palace and he spent the night fasting, and no entertainment was brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. Why couldn't he sleep? Because he knew that the lions were having some lion chow named Daniel. What was it that was bothering him? You see, if you understand the first statement that he makes as a faithful statement, God's going to deliver you. That was just a pep rally speech. That ain't what he believed. He was worried all night. He wasn't a man of faith. He was just a pep talk. It'll be all right, Daniel. God will save you. Ooh, I can sleep. They're munching down on him. That's King Darius. I believe King Darius was sincere about that. I believe Daniel was his friend for reading the text. I believe he really thought a lot of Daniel. I believe that he was sorry about having to do that. I believe he stayed up all night. Sleep left him. Can you imagine what the satraps thought? Daniel got what was coming to him. I'm going to be next. You know, people think like that. The human race is pretty ruthless about power and control. Church, it can creep into the church. It knocks at my door sometimes, and I got to try to keep it away, you know? Don't we all? Verse 19 and 20. We look at the next day. Then the king rose at dawn at the break of day. He went in haste to the lion's den. When he had come near to the den, Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. Why is his voice troubled? Because he didn't expect a reply, right? The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lion's den?" Now think about how King Darius thought about this. It was just an empty question, right? He didn't expect an answer. But then Daniel spoke from the lion's den. "O king, live forever. If I was King Darius, I may have fallen down. My God sent an angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him, and also toward you, O king, I have committed no crime." King Darius, here's what you need to know. God's the judge, not you. God found me innocent. Now, I thought about this. Now, my mind's going to go out there in speculation, Bill, and I want to point out this is not the Scripture. But speculating in my mind, I think that old Daniel used those lions for a pillow to sleep on during the night. They didn't do him any harm. None whatsoever. Now, I don't know about you. I watched the Ghost in the Darkness lately. How many people have seen the Ghost in the Darkness? The Lions of Savoa, the man-eaters that tried to eat the railroad workers. But if you've not seen that, you've been to the zoo, right? When a lion growls, you know one thing. That's not where you need to be. Here's Daniel cast into the lion's den. God sent an angel to shut the mouth of those. Can you imagine being in the lion's den and seeing an angel closing the mouth of lion? Maybe he used duct tape and bacon wire. I don't know what he used, but those mouths were shut, weren't they? They were closed. Let me tell you what I'm saying here is Daniel was protected. Our God is a God of protection. Our God is a God of deliverance. And I had a good verse about that somewhere. Psalm 34, verse 7. Let's take a look at that. Psalm 34, verse 7. You want to hear some good news? Take a listen to this. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and rescues them. Anybody in here need a little bit of rescuing? Anybody in here endure some hard things in life? Anybody in here end up in the lion's den of life from time to time? Let me remind you of something. God sends a host of His angels to surround you. You're not going to be tempted beyond what you're able to handle, 1 Corinthians 10. You're not going to be tempted beyond, but God sends a way of escape, doesn't He? We need to be like the servant of Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 6, who looks up and looks through the eyes of his heart, and God opens that, where he can see that there's a multitude of God's host that surrounds him to protect him. Church, do you know that you're that way? Do you know that when it seems impossible, when the lions are roaring in your life, do you know that God has encamped Himself around you to deliver you? Daniel knew. Because Daniel was a man. Verse 21 and 22. Verse 23. Darius had heard the voice of Daniel. Then the king was very pleased and he gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den and no injuries found on him because he trusted in the Lord, because he trusted in God. Verse 24, the king then gave orders and they brought those men to him maliciously, accused Daniel, cast them, their children and their wives into the lion's den. They had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all of their bones. Man, you talk about bad news. Not just the ornery turkey buzzard guys that maliciously have tried to ruin Daniel. They went and rounded up their wives and their kids. Innocent bystanders, right? Threw them all into the lion's den, and the lions had been. I want to remind you of something. You know, we're talking about making choices and making the right choices, and every choice that we make having consequences. Let me tell you what, folks.
When you make a choice in your life, it affects the people around you. I don't know how many times throughout Christianity we've seen one person in the family drag the rest of the family down spiritually. Do you think about that, men, when you're leading your family spiritually? Women of God, do you think about that when you're ruling your households, that you affect the entire family? Man, we ought to. Because we lay a lot bigger footprint than the one that comes off the bottom of our boots. Okay, verse 25 through 27. So Darius, in regard to all this, makes a decree. Then Darius the king wrote to all peoples, nations, and men of every language who were living in the land, made peace about it. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, first of all, that men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. Why is that? Because the God of Daniel is fear and tremble, right? Because he's something. Number two, he is the living God and enduring forever. He is living as opposed to these dead idols, these dead statues that men erect. And you know what I realized? We're a people who erect statues in our hearts too. What's your statue? A bass boat? A sewing machine? A vacation? Power tools? No, this God is a living God. As we read in Hebrews here a little bit ago, that He's a living, His Word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. God's Word is active, it's living, it's not dead, it's not two-dimensional on a piece of paper, it's three-dimensional in the shape of a cross, you see. His dominion will be forever. His kingdom's one will not be destroyed. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in the heaven and on earth. Who has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Daniel was blessed. Daniel was blessed by God because Daniel was faithful. We say, you know what? Sometimes I don't feel blessed. And sometimes maybe our minds are in the gutter. Sometimes we're looking through physical eyes and not spiritual eyes. Church, is there any blessing for us in the book of Daniel here in the 21st century? Yeah. Israel, like many politicians, had played their fiddle in more than one parlor. Praising God with one breath and worshiping man in another. God's desire for Israel and for us today is to place Him above everything else. We sing the song. We place You on the highest place, for You are the great high priest. We place You high above all else. So, was on fire, and it was the middle of the night, what would you carry with you on the way out the door? What means the most to you is what matters. For the invitation, I want you to think about that question. Do you place God on the highest place? If not, you need to make a change in your life.
That's where we have to get. We have to get to a lion's den place. You understand the church? Revelation 2:10. So that we will be faithful unto death and receive the crown of life. If you don't have the crown of life in store for you, the invitation belongs to you. God waits for you.